We're glad that you're here today. Thank you for coming out. And we're going to talk for these next few moments a little bit about football. There's going to be a big game that's going to be played tonight. It's going to be an epic battle. And there's going to be some very large men that's going to go out on a field, and their bodies will collide. People will get hurt. And honestly, I don't care, because there's nothing super about the day. It's only super if the Steelers are playing. And but one team will emerge victorious, and millions of people, hundreds of millions, literally hundreds of millions of people will watch. They say that this will be the largest audience, television audience ever, hundreds of millions of people around the world, and people will watch to see who's going to win. I mean, it's the epic question, who's going to win? So who's going to win? Honestly, if I were a Patriots fan and I'm going, Patriots, honestly, like, who's going to win? Like, if you're... So more Patriots fans in the room. That's interesting to me. Yeah, I'm praying for you cheaters. But but ultimately, really, and you can say what you want to, the truth is, really, the two best football teams this year are going to be in the Super Bowl. And you can say what you want to and about any question about cheating, but the truth is, Tom Brady is an amazing quarterback. Probably will be one of the, you know, the greatest quarterbacks of our generation. And there are great players on that team, as there are on, what's the other team that's playing? Seattle. I'm making enemies. I won't get through the sermon without making enemies today. But here's the deal: is these teams have gone through a lot of processes. They've gone through playoffs. They've won their divisions, conferences, and now here they are, and they represent the best. They represent, and now not only are they supposed to represent the best, but they'll show up today, and hopefully this will be not just the best game of this season, but maybe for some of them, the best game of their lives, where they will win this epic battle and be victorious, and they'll be in what many people in sports call in the zone. I don't know if you've ever heard that terminology, but in the zone means like you're kind of centered. Like there's no distractions. Nothing is able to deter you off of what your goal, your focus is. And that while you're there, you're so concentrated that it's like a pure focus on your task at hand. That's to be in the zone. And it's not just in sports, not just in football, but in many different places. For people that are in business, many times if you're doing some kind of business and you're doing multiple business transactions, they say like you're in the zone, not just there, but performing. If somebody's singing and they're just like hitting all the notes and it's just perfect control in every one of the notes, they're in the zone. In the zone, it really exemplifies that you're kind of living at your highest level, living at your highest level in life, your highest level in performance, and nothing is distracting you. And so today I'm going to talk to you for a few moments about living in the zone in your life, that ultimately when you're in the zone, you're winning. There's almost nothing that could defeat you in that place. And winning is something that we want to do in our lives. There's places in our lives where we know that we're in a battle. There's places in our lives where we know we're up against challenges and we need to win. And so there's a gentleman, his name's Vince Lombardi, and Vince Lombardi was one of the great football coaches. He coached the Green Bay Packers for many years, and really there's so much about football that he's marked and it's known by what he's done. In fact, the trophy that they give away is the Lombardi Trophy. And here's something that he said about winning. He said, winning is a habit, and so is losing. Have you ever noticed that there are some people, they just seem to win repetitively, and there are some folks that seem to not ever win? Here's what he said in the context of his whole statement there. Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. There's some scripture in the Bible we're going to take a look at. We're going to look in 1 Corinthians in the 19th chapter. And there's a lot that the Bible actually has to say about sports, believe it or not. That's one of the things that I love about scripture is because it causes us to look at life from several different entry points. Everybody gets an opportunity to kind of jump on board in the Bible. And so there's a lot of scriptures that has scriptural meaning, but the writers use sports. And so we're going to start out in 1 Corinthians, the 19th chapter. You're going to find an insert in your ninth chapter, and you're going to find an insert in your bulletin if you want to take a moment and take a look at that with me. I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I want to read this also out of the Message translation. I don't know if you read out of multiple translations, but the Message translation is just a fascinating read, and it kind of takes the Bible and puts it into story form. Here's what the Message translation says in these very same passages. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then miss out on it myself. In the zone, what it means to live in the zone. There are some qualities or some qualifications of somebody who wins and lives in the zone. It doesn't matter what arena of life it is. Today, I'm kind of talking in the context of spiritual living, but it's not just in the context of spiritual living. Maybe it has to do with your finances. Maybe it has to do with your family, a relationship. Maybe it has to do in your marriage. Whatever area of your life where there's a battle or where there's some kind of opposition, you have the opportunity to win and live in the zone. So there are some qualities of that. Are you ready? Here's the first thing of people that live in the zone, people that win. The first one is that they're all in. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 24th verse. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. They're all in. They have nothing held back. There's no reservation for them. Have you ever seen somebody that you know that like... And they say in sports that you can tell when somebody's just kind of half-hearted, their heart isn't completely in it. You can see when somebody sings that many times they're up here singing, or maybe they're somewhere else singing, not our people, honest, because everybody sings really just passionately. But there are a lot of times when you see somebody and they're just not committed to the song. There are sometimes when you hear preachers preach and they're just not committed to the message. In our lives, there are places where we know that we're up against something. There are places where we know we have to win, where these are crucial arenas for our life. If you want to win, if you want to be in the zone, you're going to have to get all in. In the day that we live, there are a lot of people that when they get married, marriage for life, you know, that doesn't even seem to be an option. Like, for a lot of people anymore, it's only an option to stay married for life. I think that if you're going to do this, if you're going to get married, if you're going to commit all in, no options for anything else. If you're going to jump into a career, I have to tell you, like many of us, what we want to do is we want to hedge our bets with other stuff. I got a plan A, I got a plan B. The people that really succeed, and get to the highest level, they're people who focus on something. In the Olympics, there are not people, the people that are in the Olympics that win the gold medals, They're not trying to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that and jack of all trades. They choose one thing and they focus on it. They become the best there is at that. I can only imagine somebody out in the parking lot at the Olympics like, oh yeah, I'll have some cotton candy and yeah, give me. No, I'm not cutting back on sugar. Go ahead and give me a full full Coke. And then those cinnamon almond things, I love those. I'll take some of that. And Snickers bar, I'll take one of those. Oh, you know what? They're about ready to run track. Let me go on in and run track. That's not going to happen. In the Olympics, somebody's not running track and going, you know what? I think for a couple of minutes, I'm going to go over here and swim with the swimmers. They focus. They've committed themselves to do something. If you want to be the best at something, go all in. Let me talk about your spiritual life for a few moments. There are a lot of people like, I tried Christianity, I tried religion, I tried God, and it just didn't work. I went, but let me ask you, did you do all in? Or were you hedging your bets? Like, okay, I'm going to try a little bit of God, and if a little bit of God works, then that'll be good for me, but you know, I'm only going to try a little bit of that. I'm going to challenge you. It doesn't work. Honestly, it doesn't work unless you're all in. That's where you live in the zone with God. That's where you start to understand what this life is really all about. And that's where you start to understand what it means to win with God. Get all in. Here's the second thing that I'd like for you to observe is winners know that consistent training is essential to do it consistently. Verse number 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it essentially. They do it in a way that it causes them to win. That they're not going to do anything else that would distract them away from what their task is at hand. They go into essential training. Like, honestly, there are some things that you don't want to do. If you're a runner, generally runners do not lift heavy weights. They're not doing power lifting. And the reason why is because they don't want all that mass on their frame. If you're into weight training, man, you're going to lift all that weight, but essential training has to be individual for whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. There are some things in your life that I would challenge you that maybe you need to dig in a little bit deeper, that you need to go into essential training. If you're having problems with your finances, get into financial peace. If you want to be better at it, study finances. If you want to have a better marriage and win in your marriage, maybe it's time for you to get into a marriage class or into marriage counseling. And when I say that, honestly, I'm talking like really essential, qualified teaching. Honestly, if your marriage is in trouble, don't get counsel from all of your friends that just went through a divorce. Because I don't know about you, but you know what I've learned in life is divorce is contagious. Like if you run in a circle of friends that one gets divorced and then two gets divorced and you still run, you're going to hear all of the stuff that they have to say and they're going to train you how to think badly about your marriage. You're going to want to be around some people that have some great marriages if you want your marriage to work. That's good preaching, Brother Paul. Okay. And you might say, well, that's just too much for me. I don't think I'll ever be financially solvent. I don't know that I'll ever be great at marriage. I don't know. If you'll go all in and train yourself, get the essential training that you need, you might be able to do what you think is currently impossible. St. Francis of Assisi, he gave advice for us. Here's what he said. Start by doing what is necessary. Start by doing what is necessary and then do what's possible. And suddenly you'll find yourself doing the impossible. Start what's necessary. Get the building blocks in. Get the basics in. Do the things that you know you can accomplish. Those big foundation stones. Get those things into your career. Get those things into your marriage. Get those things into your health. Get those things into whatever experience that you're pushing towards. Do what's necessary and then do what's possible. Push yourself a little bit harder and then eventually you'll find yourself doing what you thought was impossible. Commit yourself to do it. I read a lot from one particular writer. His name's Andy Stanley, and he wrote these words, and I love this. He said, we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. No one's ever just drifted into being a millionaire. No one's ever just drifted into a great marriage. No one's ever just drifted into good health. We get there by prioritizing and then living it out. no one's ever drifted into a relationship with God and lived in the zone, close and connected with God, just by chance. It happens because we choose to do it and we do the essential training. There's some motivation behind that training. Here's what the motivation behind the training is. Right now, there's people going to be motivated. They're going to get a Super Bowl ring, or they're going to get hundreds of thousands of dollars of a bonus. For us, that's not the kind of motivation. It's not the motivation that we're going to take. Here's what it says in verse number 25. Other people do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Three different kinds of motivations I see. Internal motivations, that's pride. It's the things that satisfy our flesh. We do it for ourselves. And there are a lot of times when we even do good things, and really when we get down to it, we're doing it out of selfish motivation. You know, the Bible says that there are people that even stand and pray in the house of God, and they do it out of selfish ambition. They do it just so everybody hears them. Oh, Lord, thou God, who dost be in heaven. You know, I'm like, I don't know why they talk like that, because they're from a Coe, you know? I mean, you know? But they do it. So sometimes we even do good things. We're motivated to do good things, but it's out of a selfish place, internal motivation. Then there's external motivation, and that's monetary rewards or popularity. Sometimes it's some carrot being dangled in front of us, a bonus or prestige. External motivations, and then here's the kind we want to really lean into, and that is eternal motivations, the kind that lasts forever, the kind that when the test comes and goes and we stand before God, that what we've done lasts forever. First Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, train yourself to be godly. Isn't, now that's a statement. Train yourself to be godly. We spend 12 years to go through school to get a high school diploma, 4 years to get a college degree, 2 to 3 more years to get a master's, 2 to 3 more years to get a doctorate. And here he says, invest your life, train yourself to be godly. I know folks that go to the gym, and they'll go to the gym. Obviously, I don't go with them, but I know people that go to the gym. But I know people that go to the gym, and they'll spend an hour. Why are you laughing? Wait a second here. Here's the deal is that they'll go and spend an hour in the gym and honestly spend maybe 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes in their prayer life, and then can't figure out why, like, they're not strong and resilient when a test or a trial comes in their life. You've invested in one place in your life. Somewhere, trust God and invest in your spiritual life into something that's eternal. Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value. He didn't say it's not of any value, but he says it's of some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for those both in this present life and the life to come. So the motivation, and then there's the method of training. How are you going to train? Verse number 26, Paul writes, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. If you have a goal to do something, then you're going to have to train specifically towards that. Let me talk to you about spiritual life, because ultimately that's what I'm here to talk to you about. Honestly, if you needed a financial counselor, you're probably, I mean, we'll talk to you about some of that today, but the reality is we're here to talk to you about your spiritual walk with God and winning this battle. Three fundamentals of spiritual training. Here you go. Are you ready? The first one is spiritual intimacy with Christ. Now, the word intimacy, honestly, kind of freaks a lot of people out, because, I mean, it's a word that messes with some people's heads. But the truth is there's a place where it's not just a casual relationship with God, but it's somehow where we know that we're walking with him and he's with us. And, like, we know him. He's like a breath away. It's walking with him. And here's how you get to that. It's in prayer. Have you ever prayed where you prayed and you kind of got past your list and your agenda, and then you just stayed and prayed? I would tell you that's where real prayer begins. It kind of gets off of the agenda, and it gets off of the stuff I'm trying to get God to do for me, and then all of a sudden it's my heart is open for him to speak to me. Pray past the end of your list and just continue to pray into God, and you're going to find some intimacy with God there. Here's some other things that you can do. Read the Bible. Read the Bible, because the Bible says when you spend time with the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, basically it says that He was Christ, and He dwelt among us. And so spend some time reading the Word of God. I love what Stephanie said a few minutes ago, that like it's our rule book, it's our playbook. That's what we're going to live by. And then there's something else that you could consider doing, and that is spend some time in worship. And worship, honestly, listen, worship is more than just showing up here for our church 20 minutes late after service begins. Thank you for laughing. For those on the praise and worship team, we were in church about 2 months ago in the third service, and third service always has a pretty decent crowd, but third service, at the beginning of the service, there were three people in the room. I'm like, and then by about 20 minutes into it, a lot of folks were in the room, but the thing about it is worship isn't just singing songs. Worship isn't just good music. It's where we get past the songs and we find the presence of God and we start to exalt His worth. And somehow in those moments, He pours Himself down inside of us. Spend some time with God in worship. Next Sunday night, let me just take a moment here and say, next Sunday night, February the 8th, we're going to be having an entire evening of nothing but worship and prayer and seeking God. Like, we're going to have some songs and some agendas. I see people putting coats on. Is it cold in here? Here's the deal is let's focus on the temperature for a few moments and get in the zone there. But that's okay. I'll keep moving. But next Sunday night, we're going to have a night of worship. And there's not going to be an agenda to that. The agenda is simply going to be, we're just going to worship God until His presence comes and fills our hearts. And maybe that'll be a great experience for you. But it's the method of training. Here's another thing that... spiritual intimacy with God trains us for. Here's another avenue of training, this method of training for our spiritual life. Authentic community with believers, being involved with other Christians. And I have to tell you, sometimes that's not fun. It's not good because some of y'all are really messed up, you know? I'm messed up. I can tell you, give me a couple of minutes and I'll prove it to you. But this is the best place. Honestly, I say this all the time. If you can't fall down here, where can you fall down? If you can't mess up here, where can you mess up? And ultimately what we do is then we challenge each other to get into the zone, not just to live in our mess up, but to get up and move forward into the life that God has for us. And we do that with authentic Christian community. And that's where we're not living facades and we're just standing there like looking holier than everybody else or we just run in the door and we like kind of look religious for a couple of minutes but it's sitting in rooms, in connection groups, in homes where we talk to one another. It's beyond the 3 minutes in the aisle here. Here's the reason why I'm challenging you about this is if the only people in your life or the majority of the people in your life aren't followers of Christ and aren't devoted followers of Christ, then the majority of your major influences are leading you in another direction. If the voices that you're listening to are really not on the same page about really getting in the zone and getting to that place where you're winning with God in your spiritual life, then I have to tell you, you're going to end up somewhere down the road and you're going to like, I don't know if any of this is true and I don't know if God really works and I don't know why I wasted all. And here's the reason why is because you've listened to voices that have diluted your experience. And it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with the people that you're running around with. Get into authentic Christian community. Man, that's good preaching right there, Brother Paul. Here's number three. Be compassionate. Have a compassionate influence on the world around us. That we're more of an influence on them than they are on us. And that ultimately that we're compassionate about that, that our heart, our church services here on Sundays are really geared for people who don't like church, who don't like God. Our services are geared for people who, like, you haven't been in church in a long time. We're glad that you're here. But what we're trying to do is create a climate where you can get on board and start to move in this walk towards spiritual development. In Romans, the 7th chapter in the 15th verse, Paul writes, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. He's saying, like, I'm conflicted in my experience. I know how to do the right stuff, but I don't do it. So get into community, get around people, invest in your life. And that takes me on to my next point. And here's what my next point is. Winners understand that winning is a process. Winners understand that winning is a process. I make a commitment to do it, and Paul says, and then I don't do it. I make a commitment, I'm going to pray, and then I forgot to pray, you know? We're on a spiritual journey. We're doing 90 days of prayer and fasting down to Easter, January 4th to April the 5th, to invite somebody to church, and we're challenging you this month. We ask you in January to start to pray about them, and this month we're going to ask you to share their name with us, and maybe this month start to take them to lunch or take them out for a cup of coffee or buy them a card and let them know that you're investing in their friendship. But invest in that. That's a process. In the same way God's invested in our lives and put a process down inside of us, we have 40 days right now that we're like in prayer and fasting, the first portion of this, because we know that there's things that we want to do, but there's a conflict in us. Our spirit said, like, we want to go in this direction. We want to do a better thing. We want to live for God better. And then all of a sudden something happens. People call us on Friday night and we go in the opposite direction. And Paul says, I want to do the right stuff, but I don't do the right stuff. And that's going to happen in your life. It's going to happen in my life. But when we do that, when we end up in that place, let me just tell you what we're challenged to do. We're challenged to get up and do it again. We're challenged to understand that this is not just a one-time event. Like, we're not going to make a commitment to something, and then if we fail, like, it's over. And I know that ultimately what we want to do is we would love to be able to come to God and turn our life over to Him and have somebody pray for us, and they'd pray for us one time, and everything in our life would be fixed. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, like, all our hurts would go away, all our hang-ups would go away, our habits, our issues, all of our negative stuff would go away, and we'd just walk out in perfection. I wish I could do that for you today, and there are a lot of folks that they've tried that, and the truth is then, you know, they're like, pray for me, I'm dealing with lust, and somebody prays for them, and like, man, I'm never going to lust again, and then they walk out, and that girl at the office with her buttons a little bit too low, like, well, I prayed, and why didn't that work? Because it's a process. Let me just say, like, we come to church, and we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins and give us a brand new life, and He does that, but then we have to work through the stuff that we walked through to get where we are. He makes us new creatures, and He gives us a brand new start, but the truth is many times we're having to fix and go back and undo the stuff that we've done before and maybe retrace some of those roads so that we don't make those mistakes again. It's a process that you and I are going to walk through. Each of us, we have a process that if we want to get to that place that God has for us, and many times it's not fun because we have to confront some issues in our life. We have to confront the things where we fail. We have to confront the weaknesses in our life. We have to confront the places where we make a commitment and we don't follow through. But many of us, what we want to do is we want to kind of get to that snappy, happy ending. I think that life itself, how God created life, is an indication of what our spiritual life is going to be like. In the last month, we've had 4 babies born in our church. Is that amazing? You know, you all know what causes that, don't you? We've had 4 babies born, just found out another one this week. The Silvanses, they're going to have a baby. James and Valeska, they just had their baby girl, Amy. Ava, that's what I said. Valeska was in the hospital 3 days, they induced labor, 3 days, went through hard labor like a whole day. That's a painful process, but that process is to give birth to something, a child they love. In your life, in my life, God's trying to birth something in us. He's trying to get us to a place. And sometimes there's pain in that process. Sometimes we have to walk through some stuff and it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy. But ultimately, it's taking us to some place that brings us into the life that He had planned for us. in the book Good to Great, and I don't know if you've read it, but it's a great book. It's one of my favorite books ever. Good to Great. Jim Collins writes about a man by the name of Jim Stockdale. And he interviewed Jim Stockdale. He was Admiral Jim Stockdale. He was the highest ranking officer in the United States military that was captured in the Vietnam War. And he was tortured over a period of 8 years, brutally tortured over the period of 8 years. And he said he never lost his faith. He never lost his faith in the middle of all of that. And there were some awful things that took place. They used to make propaganda films with the captives. And they'd take them out there and they'd make them, even though they had just suffered a beating, would make them go out there and say, everything's good. They're treating me fine. They're feeding me well. But they'd just beaten them a few minutes ago. But they'd beat them on parts of their bodies that that you couldn't see on a camera. So that he wouldn't be a part of the propaganda, he would literally take his chairs and frames off of the bed and beat his face with them and get glass or silverware and cut his face so that they couldn't use him as propaganda to tell everybody in the world that everything was okay because they were brutalizing these men, he and the other captives. And after 8 years, finally, he was released. But there were many guys that did not live through it. And in the book, Jim Collins goes and he interviews him and he says this: I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade. He said it was the defining moment of his life. And that ultimately it was very difficult and that there were some people that did not make it, but he was determined that he was going to prevail. And he said, concerning the other people, because Jim Collins, he said, man, I couldn't ask a question. We just walked for a while. And finally he said, I found the words of what I wanted to ask him next. He said, what about the other people that didn't make it out? Did they not want to get out? Why did you prevail and they didn't? Here's what he said. There were ones who said, we're going to get out by Christmas. And Christmas would come and Christmas would go. Then they'd say, we're going to get out by Easter. And Easter would come and Easter would go. And then they'd say, by Thanksgiving. And then it'd be Christmas again. And eventually, before their body died, they died of a broken heart. They just gave up. And here's what he said. He used to say to the guys that say, we're going to be out for Christmas, he'd look at them and say, we're not going to get out by Christmas. You're not going home by Christmas. Don't get fixated on that date. Don't get fixated on that moment. There's something that you're going to walk through, and it's probably going to be harder and longer than what you think you're going to walk through, but you can survive this and you can prevail. And he said, I was determined that it didn't matter if it was Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving or however long, I would prevail. And for many of us, we think that, man, I'll be able to get through this if it lasts for 3 months or 6 months or 9 months, or I'll last through the end of the year, but I don't think I can take it any longer than that. The people who win, the people that get to the winner's circle, the people that get to the zone, they're the people that when they think they've come to the end of their resources, they know that they can draw on another resource and they can prevail beyond their own capacity. See, you can have faith that you'll get to Christmas or Thanksgiving in your life. You can have faith that you'll reach this goal, but ultimately you have to have a hope that takes you beyond the limits of your own capacity. That even when you think, I'd break at that point. Now, I have to tell you, every time I say, I can't take another day of that, God. Every time I do that, God's like, oh, we'll see if you can or not, you know? But the people that win are the ones that get beyond their own capacity and understand that they can trust God. Two more points and I'm going to close. Here's the last one, I'm sorry. Winners always pay the price for winning. Winners always pay the price for winning. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot for you to get where you want to go physically this year. It's going to take a lot where you want to go emotionally this year. It's it's going to take a lot for you to get through some hurt, some wound, some hardship. It's going to take a lot. If you want to get to the place where you know you're supposed to go, that life of health, that place of health in your mind, in your spirit, that place of excellence in your spiritual walk with God, that place in your marriage, if you want to get to that place, there's going to be some work in front of you. But those that are willing to invest, and those that are all in, and those that are willing to do whatever that they have to do beyond their own contentment and their own capacity, that's the people that are going to get there. Not the ones that just casually drift through life. The people that are determined that they're going to win, they're the ones that will win. I'm going to read our scripture one more time, and I'm going to read this out of the message. I just want you to hear it again, and I'm going to close in prayer. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. God has a plan for you. God has a place for you. He has some place, if you would. It's your winner's circle. It's the zone for your life. And he's challenging you. Don't get there casually. It's going to take some work, but he's going to help you to get to that place. I want to pray for you today. Everybody, if you'll just close your eyes and bow your head with me for a second. Lord, I ask you, God, that you'll be with us in these next few moments. I thank you, dear Lord, for each and every person that's here. And Lord, I know this. I know that I can't change a life. I can't change a life in 40 minutes, and I can't change a life with a microphone, but you can change a life. Lord, you can pick those up that are hopeless and those that have given up and move them in the right direction. I ask you, Lord, that you'll put your hope, your word down inside their heart, that they'll get up and run again. And dear Lord, that they'll yield to the process that you have them in. The things that they need to lay aside, the weights that they need to lay aside, the attitudes, the habits, that they'll lay down their life and they'll pick up the life that you have for them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to just take a moment here and I'm going to ask you, if you've never just committed your life, gone all in with Christ, I'm going to ask you to do that today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. Just repeat this prayer and invite God to come in and say, I'm going all in with you, God. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son. That he came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose again so that I could have an abundant life. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Everything that separates me from you, I lay it down today. I'm going all in with you, God. From this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer and needed to pray that prayer, can I see your hand right now? Let me see it. Yes, I see it. I see it. Yes, yes. Yeah, hands going up all over this room. Yeah. Everyone else, if you'll just keep your head bowed for just a moment. If you just raised your hand, could you look up for a second? I just want to talk directly to you. If you just raised your hand, listen, in every seat or near you is a card. And that card says, I've made a decision to follow Jesus. I'm going all in with him. Will you take a moment and fill out this card? And then at the end of today's service, bring it down to me or Pastor Jeff. You can even just reach for that card right now if it's near you. But just by the end of the service, make sure you turn it into us because we want to help you get started on this journey. Amen. Everybody, if you'll look up with me, will you let the individuals that just raised their hand know they've made the best decision of their life? For each of us, God has a plan for us. Go all in. Commit. Commit. Do it. Do it. And let God take you to the zone that He has for your life. Come on, let's stand as we sing.